Hello, and welcome to Noir on the Radio. I'm Greg Barth, and joining me tonight is crime noir author Elka Ray. Elka Ray is a UK/Canadian author and illustrator based in Vietnam. The author of the novels Hanoi Jane and the just recently released Saigon Dark, Elka also writes and draws an expanding series of children's books about Southeast Asia, including Vietnam A to Z, 1-2-3 Vietnam, and The Warrior Queens. For adults, Elka focuses on crime fiction and mysteries. Her short novels, or short stories, have appeared in Monsoon's Crime Scene Asia, Asia's Best Crime Fiction 2014, New Asian Fiction, and Lontar, the Journal of Southeast Asia Speculative Fiction. Her travel writing has run in a wide range of publications, including Fodor's, Forbes, Executive Traveler, and Persimmon Asian Arts. Elka holds a Canadian degree in journalism and Asian studies and a Canadian diploma in creative writing. She has a sporty husband and two kids, works as a magazine editor, and has a website at elkaray.com. And when Elka's not writing or drawing, she's in the ocean. Elka Ray, welcome to Noir on the Radio. It's great to have you on as a guest.
Thank you so much, Greg.
For any listeners that may not be familiar with you and your work, tell us a little bit about yourself, your experience, all the things that make you the writer you are today.
So 21 years ago, I came to Vietnam after university for 1 year, and I ended up getting a job and extending it, and 21 years later, I'm still here. And, you know, for most of that 21 years, I've been writing after work. And I think, you know, of course, being in Vietnam and being in Southeast Asia has definitely influenced my fiction.
So I'm curious, as an expat author, do you find that a lot of your readers are expats themselves?
Yes, although my first novel, Hanoi Jane, was translated into Vietnamese, so that was quite fun to have local readers as well.
Oh, that's great. Is there, you know, a community of expats in Asia? You know, and if so, what is that? What's that group like?
Oh, there definitely are a large number of expats in Asia, and I think, you know, there's a huge amount of variety. There are people from all over the world, people here on short business contracts, people who come to set up businesses, and then a lot of people who are retired and come here, you know, for lower cost of living and good weather.
Interesting. I want to say congratulations on the release of Saigon Dark. I'd like to talk about Saigon Dark for a bit. You know, it's been out just a few days at this point, but I got to tell you, I'm very excited about that book. I've not finished it yet, but I've been reading through it the last few days, and I'm just captivated by it. How would you describe that novel for our listeners?
First of all, thank you so much. You know, that means a lot. It's a story about a woman who, she's Vietnamese American. And she's living in Ho Chi Minh City when tragedy strikes. Basically, first of all, her husband leaves her, so she's going through a traumatic divorce. And then she has a daughter who is ill, and her daughter dies. And in, you know, sort of, she's in the midst of grief and shock, and she makes a morally questionable decision. And that sort of sets the tone for the whole book of what happens after.
So Lily, your protagonist in Saigon Dark, you know, you and as you just alluded to, you take her through some dark experiences. The emotion that I feel as a reader, you know, tells me that this couldn't have been an easy novel to write, emotionally anyway. What was it like for you to write Saigon Dark? How did that feel?
You know, this was, you're right. It was a very, very difficult novel to write. And what spurred the novel for me was that my first child died as a baby. And that obviously was a terrible experience. And after her death, I basically felt completely out of control. You know, I wasn't able to control my emotions. I became very interested in exploring in a fictional way a woman who, she's in extreme grief, she's totally traumatized, but she needs to keep control. And so the story sort of came out of that. And yeah, it, of course, my daughter, you know, her death was nothing like the way it happens in the novel, but I was just interested in portraying a character dealing with grief.
Yeah, I can see that, because it feels very genuine. And you know, it's not the first time I've heard writers, you know, talk about in the mourning process, the grieving process, that the writing has been therapeutic, you know, for them. And you know, I think even my own writing, you know, sometimes I'm working through things even subconsciously as I'm going through the act of writing. But the emotion definitely comes through in this book. And you know, it's not just the heart-wrenching nature of it. There's also, I would call, you know, an ever-present sense of this looming dread that in this one that builds, you know, chapter by chapter. I think it's Lily's fear of getting caught, and it's magical, you know, how you hold that over the character and the inner tension you create for her. Because people in the book care about her, but she can't confide or confess. So she's always has this isolated part of herself. What do you think Lily feels? Is it fear? Is it guilt? Is it the pain of trying to be a good mother with so many things outside of her control?
You know, I don't think it is guilt so much, because I think that Lily feels that she morally made the right decision. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, she understands that there's two sides to that. You know, basically what Lily does is when her child dies, the very same day that happens, she's living next door to some squatters, you know, a really, really poor local family. And the father is an alcoholic, and he beats up his wife and his children, and he's, you know, really abusing them terribly. And the day that her daughter dies, she finds this neighbor's child who is really terribly abused out in the street crying, and she's injured, and Lily decides to take her in her daughter's place. And I think, you know, obviously feeling a child is a terrible thing to do, but rescuing a child is a good thing to do. So I would say Lily is terrified of being caught. And also, you know, she's not able to grieve for her own child because she's pretending all the time.
Yeah, it's you know, just an amazing tension that, you know, that resides in her, that, you know, no one is aware of, you know, in the book. It's you really feel for this woman who I believe too had the, you know, the best of intentions. So the book takes place in Vietnam, and it works very well. I would say there's a strong sense of setting. I see a lot of noir fiction these days moving out of the, you know, the large cities, New York and LA, and going in, you know, some interesting directions. You know, we have rural noir now, and you know, noir and what I think there's even some domestic noir that's a big thing these days. What is it about Vietnam that makes it a great setting for this dark story?
You know, I think any developing country is a great setting because there's so much tension. You know, there's so much, there's the tension between haves and have-nots. You know, you have people who are extravagantly wealthy living right next door to people who have nothing. You have a more flexible legal system, let's say. You know, you maybe have people who don't feel comfortable going to the police. There's just a whole lot of room for moral ambiguity.
And you've written some other things as well. There's the novel Hanoi Jane, a collection of stories titled What You Don't Know, and a couple of children's books. So I'd like to talk about each of those a little. Tell us a little about Hanoi Jane, and you know what that what you'd like readers to know about that book.
So Hanoi Jane is a completely different book. It is a mystery as well, but it's a sort of light, fluffy, romantic adventure. It's fun and it's funny. It's definitely not dark in any way. And I wrote that book, I think I actually wrote that book shortly after my daughter's death, when I just sort of needed a total escape. And I just wanted to focus on something really funny. And it's about a young woman who moves to Hanoi, and her boyfriend dumps her, and she becomes obsessed with the other woman, you know, her boyfriend's new girlfriend. And she basically can't believe this woman seems perfect. You know, she's beautiful. She runs a charity. And the main character of the book, Jane, becomes obsessed with sort of digging up dirt on this other woman. And it turns out that this other woman is really dodgy. And, you know, so Jane ends up solving a crime.
You know, I'm fascinated by just the diversity of your writing. You know, something heavy and dark and emotionally charged like Saigon Dark, and then, you know, something light like Hanoi Jane. And then, you know, you write and travel, and then children's books. That's very diversified. Tell us about the, you know, the children's books.
Well, you know, I mean, I think most people are multifaceted, right? You know, I mean, most people don't just read one thing. So I read a variety of genres and I write a variety of genres. You know, I never planned to write or illustrate children's books, but after I had children, I realized there was a hole in the market. I basically was looking to find a certain kind of book for them and couldn't find it. So I wrote it and I wrote and drew the book. And then other people wanted it too, so that was great. And basically So my husband is Australian Vietnamese, and I wanted, when my kids were really, really little, I wanted to read them some books about Vietnam, which, you know, where they live and are growing up, in English and Vietnamese. So a bilingual book that was sort of about contemporary Vietnam. And all of the kids' books I could find were about the war, so about the American-Vietnamese War. And they were all really, really gloomy and, just, you know, sad. And then also they had also these Vietnamese folk tales, which were just really illogical. You know, I don't mind a fairy tale, but these were just seemed really random. So I made these very, very simple books about the landscape and culture and people of Vietnam, and then illustrated them with really sort of happy drawings. And yeah, now there are three of them, and the next one is just about to come out.
Well, well done. Good job. Yeah, hats off to you. That's amazing. I mean, to look for that type of book, not find it, and you not only wrote them, but you illustrated them as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow. So tell us about your collection of short stories. What You Don't Know.
Okay, so you know, when I was pregnant with my second daughter, who's my last child, she's now seven, I suddenly became addicted to reading crime and mystery. Before, I hadn't really read that much. But you know how some people, when you always hear of pregnant women craving, I don't know, certain foods. When I was pregnant with her, I just crave crime fiction. And I couldn't read enough of it. I was reading sort of 3 books a week. And at that time, I didn't have a Kindle. So I was just reading any sort of trash that I could find lying around. Some very, very good, some very, very bad. And I just, you know, became more interested in crime. And that hasn't, you know, now I don't read it as compulsively as I did when I was pregnant with her, but I still do enjoy it. And from all of that reading, I started to write short crime stories. And then some of those were published. And then in this last summer, I put out a collection of short crime stories, all set in Southeast Asia.
Very nice. So let's talk about the craft of writing itself. Tell us a little bit about how you write, you know, things like do you outline, do you fly by the seat of your pants, do you write every day, do you plan out your fiction projects to allow time for other things? I mean, what does your approach to writing look like?
Well, I've learned to become a bit more organized. You know, in the beginning, I just sort of would start with a voice, like a character would come to me and start to tell a story, and I didn't know where it was going, and it often didn't go anywhere. So now I have learned to actually plot ahead of time, although not too tightly, but I sort of, you know, I know the beginning and I know the end. In terms of daily routine, I probably spend about half of my time writing. So I try to sort of write for 4 to 6 hours a day, more if I can. And yeah, I usually have quite a few projects on the go at the same time. So I'll have a mix of kids stuff and then adult things I'm working on.
Which writers would you name as major inspirations for you?
So there are some really, really wonderful British female crime writers right now, like Tana French and Belinda Bauer. They're it's sort of psychological suspense, and they're just brilliant.
What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about becoming a writer?
Don't do it.
I hear that a lot.
I think it's a, you know, it's either something you feel a burning need to do. And if you don't feel that burning need, you know, there are plenty of other ways to occupy yourself.
I agree. I think that there aren't many people who think about becoming a writer. It's you either are one or you're it's probably not for you. You know, I think of writers as entertainers, and I'm always interested in what entertains other writers and entertainers. What kinds of things are you watching, listening to, and reading these days?
So I don't have a TV, so I don't actually end up watching anything. And but I do spend a lot of time listening to podcasts, and I read quite a lot. And I do read a lot of crime fiction and also literary fiction. I do listen to true crime, you know, things like Serial. I just found a very, very intriguing. I'm quite busy working and with my kids. So when I'm sort of not working, I'm often just out swimming or playing with my kids.
So, Elka, where can people find you and keep up with you out there on the web? What's the best source of, you know, all things Elka Ray?
So my website, which is elkaray.com, and I also have a Facebook page called Elka Ray's author page.
And what new and exciting projects are you working on these days that we can look forward to?
Well, I'm writing more short stories. So these are, I wouldn't really call them, they're not mysteries. They're not whodunits, but more whydunits. And they're, again, lots of stories all set in Asia. Stories about people maybe not committing legal crimes, but definitely morally questionable acts. So I've got that going on. And then I'm illustrating a new children's book right now. And it would be a book for overseas in a style that I've never done before. So that's quite a challenge.
Interesting. And, you know, I know as we talked beforehand, Elka, that I'd like, if you would, to read us a passage of Saigon Dark, so that, you know, our listeners can kind of get a feel for, you know, what we're talking about, the emotional charge of this this dark story that's so gripping. Would you like to share a passage with us?
Sure. Thank you very much. I'm going to read a section starting immediately after the death of Lily's daughter. So it's quite an emotionally, you know, sad, obviously, and traumatic little bit. But I hope listeners will enjoy it. Okay, here we go. I wrap Evelyn in her blanket and retrieve her favorite stuffed animal, a pink rabbit named Bun Bun. I bump my way downstairs on my butt since my thighs are too unsteady. Evie is stiff in my arms. I think of the claim that after death, a body loses 21 grams. I know it's a myth, but where is Evie's soul now? She's gone. My arms shake. With each step, she feels heavier. Once outside, the cool air revives me a little. There's a breeze, the bamboo and palms whispering. I lie her down on the wet grass and retrieve a flashlight. I know there's a shovel in the tool shed. Before I start to dig, I say a prayer. Please give me the strength for this. My muscles protest as I stab the damp earth. I stamp down on the shovel and lift. Already weakened from the CPR, my arms and shoulders burn. I welcome the pain. I cry as I dig, tears mixing with sweat. But the repetition is soothing. The pain absorbs my focus. Stab, stamp, lift, dump. Every muscle screams, but I push myself harder. The hole starts to expand and get deeper. The ground is heavy clay, riddled with roots and rocks. Each time that shovel hits a rock, shockwaves run up and down my arm. It's like being electrocuted. I get down on my knees and try to pry out the rocks with my hands. My fingernails are broken, my fingertips bloody. I kneel down to rest, considering. How deep is deep enough? I can't take any chances. I hose myself down, the cold refreshing me. I drink a glass after glass of cold water, feeling it soothe my scorched throat. But I can't rest for long. The darkness is fading at the sky's edges. There are blisters all over my hands, the shovel sticky in my grasp. I bend down, panting. This is the best I can do. I peer into the dark pit, already filling with brown water. I can't lay her down in that, but what choice do I have? I look towards the back wall, the black trees, the indigo sky overhead. The breeze has died off. The squatter's shack lies silent, no sign of life. I think of the little girl, boom, and the bruises all over her skeletal body. This is my one chance to make something good come out of Evelyn's death. Her loss can be this child's gain, a life for a life. Can I do this?
Yeah, so clearly, you know, this is heavy stuff, Saigon Dark, and one that I can't recommend highly enough. Elka, I want to thank you, you know, for joining me tonight on Noir on the Radio. It's been great having you on.
Greg, thank you so much.
And yeah, let's. Let's get you back on when your next work comes out. I'd love to chat some more.
Thank you
very much. For the listeners, oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And for the listeners, I encourage you to check out Elka Ray's books, Saigon Dark, Hanoi Jane, What You Don't Know. You can find them all very easily on Amazon. Until next time, this is Greg Barth.